Blog Talk Radio.
Yourself. I'm your host, Farshay Nash, and for part two, we have back the ladies, Space of Grace, wonderful women, Ms. Karen, Minister Deborah, and Jada. I'm glad that they are friends of mine, all right, but I ain't going to tell you the Karen story. That's for some other time. Right now, it's time to get serious, and I just want to say right out there real quick, shout out to Mr. Deborah Alexander, for all the work she does for my platform, and also Jason Randy Jackson is our technician. And well, without further ado, all right. Also support for the green tea that comes through my Facebook page. Thank you for the people that support the green tea. Now, without further ado, because this was a very hot topic last time, and we had to bring back part two. And if these ladies want, they bring back part three, four, five, because it's an ongoing situation in society. And in real life. So without further ado, without me saying any more, all right, I want to introduce the ladies of the Space of Grace. And Ms. Karen, the platform is all yours.
Thank you, Forrest, and thank you, podcast family. First, I want to introduce the ladies again for those of you who weren't with us the last time. And we have Minister Deborah, and life coach Jada, and I'm your host Karen, the co-host Karen. So we're going to start as we always do with a prayer. So Deborah, would you like to
Sure.
lead us in prayer?
Yes, ma'am. So
Father, we are so grateful to have this space, this platform that has been given so that we can bring awareness and shed light, God, on narcissistic abuse. And God, thank you so much for everyone that is hearing under the sound of our voices today, and even those that hear on replay. We pray that the words that come out of our mouth will be those words that will edify and that will assist those that are hearing, even shed light to the type of abuse. Now, we thank you again, and we thank you for the host, and we pray that there will be just revelation during this time. And it's in the name of the only wise God we pray. Amen, and bless God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's right. David, I believe you're next.
Yes, Deborah, thank you for that prayer. And for our podcast listeners, today's message is going to be on how to get out of a narcissistic relationship and how to heal. Before we get into that, I just want to do a quick overview of the characteristics of a narcissistic personality. A narcissist has an exaggerated sense of self-importance. They have a sense of entitlement and require constant, excessive admiration. They expect to be recognized as superior, even without achievements that warrant it. They tend to be preoccupied with fantasies about success, power, brilliance, beauty, or the perfect mate. They believe that they are superior. They tend to monopolize conversations and belittle or look down on people perceived as inferior. They take advantage of others to get what they want. And they have an inability or unwillingness to recognize the needs and feelings of others. There tends to be a total lack of empathy. They are envious and believe that other people envy them. In our last podcast, we talked about what it was like to either be in or have been in a relationship with narcissists. We had several people on the panel discuss that. We also had people call in. And because we did not get to the healing part or the how to get out part, that is why we decided to have a part two to this. We realized that this topic touched so many people's lives. And we want to make sure that in everything we do, that we are providing information, acknowledging the pain that has been caused, but also providing support. And so I want to set some ground rules. First and foremost, this is a safe space. We are not here to blame or shame anyone. We are here to share our experiences and to provide loving care and support for each other. And so at this time, we're going to talk a little bit about how to get out of a narcissistic relationship. And Karen, my question for you is, when did you know that you needed to go? What was it that caused you to make that decision?
Well, for me, there were many little things. And then I had one huge, in my mind, it was a huge thing at the time. So I was at school, I was in college, I was about 20 years old, and I'd had a death in the family, and because of the death in the family, I was going to have to travel home to the East Coast, and I was in school in Texas at the time, and I was having to travel to the East Coast, and the guy that I was dating, since it came kind of suddenly, I wanted to let him know that I was going to be out of town. And so we didn't have cell phones at the time, and I don't think he had a regular phone either. And so I went to his apartment, and he shared an apartment with several guys. And so I knocked on the door. And someone opened the door and told me that he wasn't there. And so I said, fine, I would leave a note. And so I I wrote my little note and took the paper, folded it in half, and then I was going to give it to someone, to give to him. And then at the last minute, I said, I didn't say, but I turned from the person to go and put it in his room. And when I opened the door, he was there, sitting on the bed, and there was a young lady there as well. And I must admit, my first thought, I wanted to jump on her. But I did not think I could inflict the damage that I wanted to before he would pull me off. And so I just stammered and backed out of the room. And a girlfriend had gone with me, and she kept saying, "Karen, is that his voice? That sounds like his voice." And, well, why is he there? I thought he wasn't going to be there. And I was like, I've got to get out of here. And so we left, and I was gone for a week. And that gave me some time to think about what had happened. He couldn't contact me because, he didn't have the telephone number where I was. And that just gave me some time to away from him to think about what was going on. And I made my decision that that I would need to leave. And so that's basically how it happened for me. But I will tell you that I made the decision to leave, but I didn't actually leave until July. That happened in March, and I didn't actually leave until July. But I want to talk about that. That kind of brings into the how to leave, because I made a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of things wrong, and because of that, I caused myself a lot of pain. One of the things that they tell you is don't give them one more chance. I did. And the reason why is because they just, it's not like they're going to do right. They just want everything on their terms. So if you decide you're going to leave them, they may bring you back just to dump you. And so that's why you don't give them a second chance. Once you make up in your mind that you're going to go, then you need to set up a plan. Don't tell them that you're leaving. That's the other thing. Let them know ahead of time that you're leaving, because the best thing is to set up your plan and then just follow your plan. And now this is another thing that I didn't do, but I didn't have to do it because we didn't live together, but it says make a copy of all your documents. And this is people that are living with their abuser, that even though it's illegal to take someone else's passport, they will do that. Narcissists are known to take things away. So the best thing to do is to make copies of your things, relocate your things, and send things to your email so that you, including, they say, proof of address, bank details, anything else official. Don't wait until the last minute. You need to get things in order before you leave. And then another thing is make sure you have spare cash, because if you're thinking about leaving, set up your own bank account so that if they're a financial abuser as well, then they won't be able to just cut you off entirely. And report what's happening to you. You may not feel like you want to escalate the situation to the police, but it's important to document what's happened to you. Make sure you say something to someone so that you will have a trail. And you might want to get, for anxiety, you know, those kinds of things, seek a professional. And then these are things that weren't in play when I was going through it, but they say, you know, log out of everything, that your social media, give yourself a break from social media once you decide on a date that you're going to leave, because, you know, they will, a lot of times they will track what you're doing, and so it's better to log off of social media, and check your devices for trackers, because they will access, there's a thing called remote access tracker, and if your phone battery keeps depleting, that's a sign that you're being tracked. Or if you log on to your Kindle and it says the book that was last read yesterday on somebody else's Mac, it means someone's tracking what you're reading. So, you know, and if you're reading things about narcissists, you don't want the person to know that. So make sure you check and see if your devices have trackers on them. And the other thing is, don't believe their flattery. Narcissists try to use extreme flattery or more abuse to keep their victim from leaving. So you have to make sure that you don't fall for the flattery. And this is the thing, and I probably should have started with this, but you have to educate yourself on the behavior of a narcissist. What we do here on the podcast should just give you a taste, but you need to do more study if you're in this type of relationship, because you can't make a decision without knowing all of, as much as you can. You can't make an informed decision without educating yourself. And so once you go through this, it's going to be painful, but you don't want to make mistakes that could be avoided by simply arming yourself with education. And that's just another thing, just an aside that I wanted to throw in. And another thing is reconnect with friends and family, because a lot of times they may try to isolate you from friends and family. So take the time to reconnect. But I will say this, a lot of times you will have mutual friends. And until you are very, very sure about the friends that you have in common, I would suggest that you do not let those friends know anything about what you're planning to do. And I say that because I know this for a fact, that they call the minions that the narcissist uses, they call them flying monkeys. And that reference is taken from The Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you all remember the flying monkeys that the Wicked Witch of the West used. But they do use people, and a lot of times these people are not even aware that they're being used, because remember what we said, the narcissist has a very charming personality. And so, but they will use people. And a lot of times those people will, if you're planning on leaving, the narcissist will, they will tell the narcissist that you're planning on leaving, or that you seem not content, or that you've been talking to them about narcissistic behavior. So what I just want to caution you to make sure that you are very careful about the friends that you have in common. Not saying to separate from them totally, but I would make very sure that that they're not being used to against you at some point, because that is what happened to me. We had some friends in common, and the one in particular, their loyalty was not to me. Their loyalty was to the narcissist, and I didn't find that out until later. But you know, it is what it is, and just by the grace of God, I was still able to get out. I was still able to stand, but there were a lot of things that happened that I didn't understand, which I found out later, because they had, the narcissist had an inside view to what was going on in my life. Let's see. And you know what? Use this opportunity to cut out anyone who is toxic, because you don't, you know, even if they're not even affiliated with the narcissist, you need people that are going to help you to build up, because depending on, well, it doesn't really, depending on how long you've been in the relationship, you know, you'll need more building up. But, you know, as we talked about, all of them are not at the same level. You know, it's very few people that have, that are diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder. But there are a lot of people that have narcissistic traits. And so my thing is, I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10, if yours is a 1 being the lowest or a 10 being the highest, but at any point it's still very toxic. The relationship will be toxic. And so you you don't need to deal with anyone else who might say, well, why would you want to leave him? He is just so good. You want people that are going to be all in supportive of you. And so I just want to caution you about that. And then don't just leave, stay away. That was the other thing that I didn't do. But stay away if you can, because there are, well, we'll talk about that later, but ignore sob stories. You know, don't give them access to you. Remind yourself of why you're leaving. Just constantly remind yourself of why you're leaving. Throw away gifts, anything that will sentimentally try to connect you with the narcissist, that make it harder, that will tether you to the narcissist. And learn how to ground yourself. Make sure that you, you know, try to get, it's almost, well, no, it's probably like post-traumatic stress disorder. And so you've got to reclaim yourself and figure out, you know, why you were attracted to the person in the first place, and then figure out a way to break the spell. And then I also wanted to say, because one of the things that while I was doing the research on how to leave, one of the things that came to my attention is that everyone does not choose to leave. And remember, we're a place of no judgment. And so if you're not able to leave physically, then you may be able to leave. You may be able to detach emotionally from the narcissist. And there's an article I saw on the internet, and it was 11 best ways to emotionally detach from a narcissist. So this is a good time. Forrest always says to have your pad and pencil available, and but I will try to I will put this article, the title to this article, on our Facebook page, so that you can read this, because it's about a 9-minute read, so I'm not gonna read the whole thing. But I'll just give you some of the topics outlined. And it says, to understand the psychology of a narcissist, decide to detach, choose not to fall for any lies, take time to understand them, avoid stooping to their level, find fulfillment elsewhere, don't take it personally. Know yourself. Let go of the need for the narcissist's approval. Establish boundaries and stick to them. And always involve a professional. And so for those of you who, for whatever reason, are not going to leave, then I think it's good to try to figure out how to stay and keep yourself emotionally safe. And ladies, do you have anything that you might want to add?
Okay, I do.
Go ahead, Jade.
No, go ahead.
I'm waiting, Jade.
Okay, I wanted to say that we know that everybody is in a different situation and circumstance. So some people are in relationships with narcissists where they are living separately. Some people are living together. Some people are married. And sometimes people are married with children or unmarried with children. And those different situations create different dynamics. First and foremost, I want you to recognize that you deserve to be safe, you deserve to be loved, and to recognize that narcissistic behavior is a form of abuse. A narcissist will tear down your self-esteem, your energy, your presence, and take away everything that makes you beautifully and uniquely you. And so it's very important that you focus on your own healing and begin to manage your feelings. And you also have to focus less on the narcissist and more on yourself. As you go through this process, it's a good idea to write down why you want to move on. to recognize what it is that you need to feel whole and to reconnect with yourself. So often when people have been in a relationship with a narcissist, they lose sight of who they really are because they've been controlled, manipulated, disrespected, and disregarded. And so focus on you. Focus on what you need to get back to yourself. Take a break from entering into new relationships. You also have to let yourself grieve. You have to recognize this as a loss. And it's okay to have those feelings, but you have to love yourself more than you love the narcissist. Oftentimes, it's a good idea to seek professional help. And you have to decide that you want to heal, and that's making that a priority. And you have to forgive yourself. So often, we interpret what has happened to us as a sign of our own weakness. And you have to forgive yourself. You have to be willing to say that you are deserving of healing, of mental, physical, financial, and spiritual health. And you have to embrace the fact that these changes are going to take time and that they are going to be painful. But it's worth it because once you get to the other side, you will feel better about yourself, you'll feel better about life, and you'll be better prepared to have healthy relationships. All right, Deborah, what did you want to add?
Well, you actually hit on some of the things that I thought were important to point out. One of the things that I do want to point out is that so far we've kind of been hitting on the narcissistic relationship from the standpoint of a romantic relationship. But there are other narcissistic relationships, even in the workplace and even within families. There can be narcissistic parents, and often the narcissism actually can cause traumatic events or traumatic situations in the lives of the children that go on to sometimes become narcissists themselves. But one of the things that you mentioned, and Karen also you mentioned as well, has to do with self-care. And so that self-care has a lot to do with putting yourself in a position of priority, because one of the things that the narcissist is able to do is to actually use the fact that you are a person that is considerate and concerned about other people. And so, but a narcissist is actually concerned with their own needs. And so the other thing is that it's a narcissistic personality disorder. So there's narcissistic traits, as Jay has pointed out, and then also the narcissistic personality disorder. The interesting part is that the personality disorder is a disorder, but they don't operate in a disorderly fashion. You can really kind of highlight some of the things that they will do. You'll see them from afar. You'll recognize red flags if you've seen them before. It may be easier for you to identify them. One of the things that narcissists do, and we touched on this on the first podcast, was that they come in that love bombing stage, and they throw so much flattery and charm and all of those things that, you know, like you're the best thing that ever happened. And if they have the opportunity, most of them actually have studied you, your behavior. They're very crafty, and so they will know exactly where to target you in those places of weakness. And so once they've targeted you in those places and are giving you the satisfaction with those words and making promises of what they will do, then they can proceed a little bit further. And then when they come in with their abuse, their devaluation, and other things that go along with that, some of it may be in such small increments that you don't realize that it's happening until you're almost, you know, way deep in. Kind of like when they talk about, you know, if you have, I believe the analogy was with a frog, that if you put him in a hot pot of water, of course he would jump out. But if you put him in just a regular pot and just gradually turn the heat up, then, you know, he wouldn't be aware of it. Same thing with that. But, yes, absolutely, the self-care, which sometimes may include professional counseling. I would not say that that would be something that would be out of line. Also, avoiding the isolation, because the isolation doesn't give you someone to actually be able to help you to think rationally, because with all of the manipulation, the devaluation, just the games that are played, a lot of times, you know, you don't know what's coming from one way or the other. With forgiving yourself, you're thinking about how did you get to the place that you're at. And so often people may feel that, you know, they don't want to share that with anyone, but you have to find a way to get well and to heal. And so that forgiveness is a stage, you know, that non-isolation, or, you know, speaking with someone that you can trust. And if that is a professional, a licensed professional for counseling, then absolutely we want to look at that. And one of the things, of course, from my background and from what has been helpful to me, is absolutely, it is essential for me and for many others to take this in prayer, because, you know, you get to the point that you don't know which way you really can go, and I absolutely guarantee you that it's going to be helpful, prayer and counseling. And so those are some of the things that I definitely wanted to share, and as well as the idea that a narcissist will target someone who is weak. They generally will not target weak people. They target people with certain empathetic characteristics, because if you were a weak person, or if you were a person that had no value, they likely would not be interested in you, because the narcissist is looking, as Jada pointed out in the beginning, they have a sense of grandiose. And so whatever it is that they're seeking the best. And so you being someone that has been targeted, that does not mean that you are weak. It means that you are essentially the opposite, but you have that empathy that a narcissist generally lacks. And so those are the things that I did want to share. And so, Karen or Jada, any other insight that you'd like to bring to the conversation?
Well, I was thinking that we might be able to open up for
Q&A.
To see if we have any callers on the line.
Okay, so are you ladies ready for me to open up the floodgates?
Are there any callers on the line?
Well, we got people listening. I just got to check with my technician. And Jay, if it's okay with the ladies, you can unmute because they're going to come in with the callers too. Brother Rashad and Brother Leon, who came on last time, ladies. And Sister Deborah and Sister Jade, I don't know, but last time we had Brother Michael Collins on with us. He passed away. So I don't know if you girl, ladies were aware. I think more than likely Karen might have brought it to your attention. So the brother's spirit is not with us tonight. But, okay, but in the meantime, Jay, do we have any callers for the ladies? Because I bet you we do.
Yes, we do. One second.
Okay.
1708, you live.
1708.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Good evening. Good evening, family.
Good evening.
Thomas Watley Bay. I'm the lucky brother of Karen Watley. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk this evening. And also, I'd like to say a long hello to the brother from North New Jersey. It's been a while.
Long time. Alex, how you been? Wow. Hey, Karen, he still has that laugh. I still picture my mind that smile. You always had a smile when I came over to your house.
I hear you.
Peace and blessings, Alex.
Peace and blessings, brother. But we'll talk afterwards for sure. But
yes, sir.
But yeah, narcissist runs havoc, unfortunately, in the black community, both male and female. It's not biased. You get it both ways. And unfortunately, as a result, you'll see the marriage between male and female in our community is the divorce rate is quite high. Me being a community activist, unfortunately, I run across this type of behavior quite regularly in our communities, and from a community activist perspective, I look at it as narcissist as being a person who in mainstream America has no power, but in Black America, they want to act like they have power, and so we develop that type of behavior because we lack real power in mainstream America. And I like for the panel to speak on that as far as the big picture, because I know that especially a lot of Black males, unfortunately, they're powerless in mainstream America, so they try to feel powerful, especially among the females and so forth. But in reality, they really are powerless. And when you are working with those individuals, you can spot that immediately.
Well, thank you, Brother Thomas Watley, for calling in. And I will say that I never considered that perspective before, but it does make sense because we knew that this behavior comes from a place of low self-esteem, so that low self-esteem could come from failing in the corporate, you know, and then, like you said, coming into the community and then putting on this persona. So that makes perfect sense to me. That makes perfect sense to me. Ladies, did you have anything you wanted to add?
You know, I think the perspective, actually, and this is something that I've I tried to do a bit of research on and actually thought about. So narcissism, the word is just, you know, that's thrown around a lot now in our current society, and I don't think it is unwarranted. I believe that what we're seeing is a greater increase of it because of the greater sense of abuse, so that abuse can come from a lot of places. But I believe that the narcissistic personality disorder develops actually in childhood. And so that abuse or neglect, and sometimes even the opposite, if you have a parent that has heaped a bunch of accolades on a child and gives them a sense of grandiose, but in the background, they really are, as you said, Karen, that they really feel like they're lacking in some area. And so this is a way that they can protect themselves by being grander than they are. And so I can see that. I think when we see the behavior showing itself within the community, that it is something that has developed over time. I don't think it starts just at, you know, in adulthood or not even just within the Black community. I've seen it outside the Black community because I've definitely seen it in the boardroom. But with us being who we are, of course, we get a opportunity to see it on a grander scale within our communities, and of course we want to address that as much as we can by making sure that there's education about what it is, and then also like what the topic is today about how to heal from it, because it's trauma, it is trauma if you've actually been involved in that type of relationship. As I said before, if it's a romantic relationship, and I'm glad, Mr. Wiley, that you pointed out that it is both male and female, because often, you know, we hear it just from the female perspective. But I actually happen to have a really good friend that shared with me something that happened in recent times, and it was a narcissistic female, and they still operate the same way, but different methods that they use to bring about that sense of grandiose. And like with a man, it may not be that he's trying to make sure that he looks a certain way, but with a woman, she will use those characteristics to lure her prey in, if you will. But yes, I would agree that we see that in our community, absolutely.
I would add, when Deborah, when you were talking about parents and raising narcissistic children, I think that there are times when we overindulge children, mm-hmm. and we don't teach empathy. So it's good mm-hmm. to build up your child's self-esteem and make them think that they're great and wonderful. But when you do that at the expense of others, to me, what you do mm-hmm. is you tell a child they are amazing because they are, but you don't say you're amazing and everyone else isn't. There's enough
Absolutely.
Space in which all of us to shine. You touched on the other relationship, narcissistic boss. Some of us, if not all of us, have encountered bosses, managers that fit the description, an exaggerated sense of self-importance, a sense of entitlement, expected to be recognized as superior even when their achievements didn't warrant it. They expect special favors and unquestioning compliance. They're supposed to do what they say. Our boss management has an inability to recognize the needs and feelings of others. And so those, I think that while we are mainly talking about personal relationships, I think it's important that we realize that this behavior crosses all levels. And it's, like you said earlier, it's not a one-size-fit-all. So the way that behavior may be different in a family relationship than it is in a work relationship, but the damage is still the same.
I agree, absolutely. And that's why this article, The 11 Ways to Emotionally Detach from a Narcissist, I found that it was very interesting, because you could definitely use those ways in the workplace. You know, let go of the narcissist need for approval. I mean, yeah, I would recommend anyone read that article, because I found it very interesting. I have had, I've worked over 30 years, and I have had a boss that was a narcissist, well, at least had the traits, and it was, you know, you work 8 hours every day, you know, Monday through Friday, and if your boss is a narcissist, and they just, it is hard, and then you can't just, and that's why I wanted to talk, you can't just, well, I couldn't just leave, you know, you have to prepare to leave a job, and it's also hard because, first of all, I didn't even know the word narcissist, so I didn't know what it was I was going through. And like I said, one of the terms is you die of 1,000 paper cuts, because they don't usually do something just hugely wrong, but it's a lot of little things that they do to chip away at your self-esteem, and for no other reason except for they can. And so Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about it's not just on the personal level, but it's all different relationships.
Okay, so go ahead, Ms. Karen. Okay. Sorry.
Did you want to bring the panel in if they wanted to have questions for us?
I believe they're in. Rashad and Brother Leon, are y'all there?
I'm here.
All right. Brother Leon, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Any comments or questions you'd like to give to this wonderful panel of ours? And thank you, Alex. Yeah. Appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, brothers.
I do got questions, but I want to let my elder go first.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Leon. I just want to say good evening to everybody, and I enjoyed the conversation, the information you shared. I don't have a question or anything, but, I read a book on narcissism one time before. I think I mentioned it to you all last time.
Yes, The Culture of Narcissism. Yeah,
I thought that was an excellent book. So, but, I just enjoyed everything you shared. That's all I can say. And just keep doing the good work and all.
Thank you, Brother Rashad.
Okay. Leon, you can go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, Brother Leon. It's your turn.
Thank you. Well, first, I want to say, welcome back to the podcast. A lot of good information. When you start trying to ask questions, I know you have to be very careful because you don't want to come off the wrong way. What I'm going to do is I just want to ask, I guess, two questions maybe. I don't know who was talking when I came on, but I thought I was hearing that you set the ground rules for making sure you don't point the finger to blame anybody for anything. So I'm going to ask Karen.
Okay.
I want to go. All the information that y'all providing right here, right now, is good for anybody that would be on this line that was in a relationship like that. One of my questions would be, if they were in a narcissist relationship right now, would they be on this line?
If they were in a relationship right now,
yes.
Would they be on the line?
Yes, if they was in a relationship right now with a narcissist, would they be on this line?
Well, yes. We had some callers last time that were in the process, that were in a relationship that were on the line.
Yeah, when I was listening to them females, I thought that they said that they were in one, but they were out. That's what I thought I heard, but that's fine. I want to take you back, Karen, because you said that when you went to the person's house, you said that there was a female sitting in there.
Yes.
Now, when you went in, just going back, not hindsight is 20/20 because of what you know now, but then when you went there and you seen the female in that room, were they engaged or were they just sitting there?
Oh, no, they were just sitting there.
Okay, so.
But I don't know. Yes, they were just sitting there.
Okay, so, not just to you, but to myself, who's been in situations such as that or any other situation as that, is that we always look to attack that person. And that person's loyalty and allegiance is not to us, but the person
Absolutely.
That you're involved with. Their allegiance and loyalty is to you, but the other person is not. But we always look to blame that other person or want to jump on that other person. But I'm glad that you're out. The other question I want to ask you, Karen, is I heard you talk about your phone being tracked. How would I know right now, where would I go on my phone to see if my phone was being tracked?
Now, I'm not technically savvy.
Okay.
So I don't know. But okay. If I were in a relationship with a narcissist,
mm-hmm.
and someone told me to find, to check to see if my phone was being tracked, I'd get one of these young people to help me.
Okay.
Uh-huh. You know, we all have some young people in our lives. And
right.
I would definitely get them, because when I was going through it now, you know, people didn't even have cell phones. But but my experience is from the past. But I'm trying to inform people today in 2022. So, yes, I can talk about my experience from the past, but when I'm talking about ways to get out, I have to bring ways that are relevant in 2022.
Right. I think that y'all...
And that's one of the ways that they said.
I think
mm-hmm.
that Most High, the creator of all things, was and is looking out for all three of you females. And I think that you should be bringing awareness to this illness
mm-hmm.
of the other person. And it doesn't leave y'all without scars either. And so that's all I have to say.
One thing I want to add is that when Karen talked about, you know, going into the room and seeing that other woman, there were many things that had happened prior to that. So it wasn't that one act or that one situation that triggered her. There had been, like she said, a lot of little cuts.
Was it with that female? Was it
with
that female?
No, not necessarily with that female.
Okay,
no,
so that's the only point that I was making. It wasn't all the little cuts with him. The point I was just drawing out for all of us, even myself, was that we always look to jump on the other person when their loyalty and allegiance was never to us, but the person that we are with. That's their loyalty and allegiance.
Go ahead. I want you to finish.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm finished. Go ahead.
Okay. Her loyalty and allegiance absolutely was not to me, but she was still disrespectful to me.
I'd like to
interject also that I absolutely understand where you're coming from, brother, because one of the things that I've seen in all types of relationships, romantic relationships primarily, but where there's someone else involved, that attention be drawn towards the person that's involved, but actually the issue is between you and the person that you have the relationship with. But I do want to point out that I think it's probably human nature to kind of, I can't even think of a technical term. I'm just going to say it this way. People tend to pop off when they are angry or upset, and sometimes they just end up, you know, inflicting that or showing that towards someone else who really doesn't deserve that. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that was something that you were wanting to bring to light, that person that sometimes we may be angry at is not the person that's responsible for the anger, really. It's the person that the relation you're having a relationship with. And so I agree with that.
Well, the reason why I'm throwing that up is because I've walked in the room with my significant other was in bed with another person, another male. And, you know, I realized that he couldn't have got there now unless she let him in. So my beef was never with him. It was always with her. And I never took that hurt, that pain, that anger towards him. And so it didn't just happen once. It happened to me a few times. And so, you know, I've learned that, you know, because a lot of this stuff happens, even still right now, at a high rate. And you'll see that person start just shooting everybody. They ain't got nothing to do with anything, you know. And then and then they will turn around and turn the gun on themselves. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I was talking from the perspective that it has happened to me more than once. And I don't think that person I was with was a narcissist. I never looked at him to be that way, but people are people. People are going to do what they feel like makes them happy, regardless who it hurts along the way.
Yeah.
But I just know I've never, and you know, one of the other things that when it comes to stuff like that, like I've never put my hands on a female because they did that, because I feel like everybody has a right to do what they want to do, regardless if it hurts somebody else or not. I was just enough human and male and man and king to walk away each time because I wasn't raised to put hands on females. And when I seen guys putting their hands on females, I did intervene, not physically, but try to be verbal to try to make that brother know that we never supposed to do that to a female. And I give them the incident that if it was me putting my hands on their mother, what would they do? Or their daughter, what would they do? And then that usually takes them out of it a little bit. But I just brought up the point to say that it's never the other person's fault. But like the gentleman said, that, you know, we tend to pop off. Or if that, you know, I walked in a room and that person said something. The first thing I said was, look, my beef ain't with you. But if you keep going, it's going to end up with you. And so they understood that. They can't get there not let that other person let them in there. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
I was just making that point.
Hey, Leon, on that point, I want to add, oh, go ahead. One of the ladies from Grace's Space wanted to say something. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said point well taken.
Oh, okay. Now, I want to ask you ladies a question. This is the host asking the ladies a question. Now, Brother Leon made a good example, and I was just thinking, what about the alternative situation, meaning – let's say, ladies, okay, there's a gentleman that back in the day you're dating, or presently, because sometimes really your emotional outburst can happen at any age, depending on how much or how deep you're into that person. Now, wouldn't there be a difference? Now, I think Brother Leon said he didn't know who the guy was, but he, of course, he knew the lady because that was someone he shared a bond with at the time. But wouldn't you say that your reaction would be different if your boyfriend, you walked in on your boyfriend in a loving position that you walked in upon with someone that you knew, like one of your girls or a female friend? Would you react? Because now it's like, okay, even though he's wrong, now you know that she knows that that was your man, and now both of them are busted. Would your reaction be different?
That is what I was trying to say. I did know her. She did know me. It wasn't like she was somebody that did not know that we were a couple and did not know me. She did know me.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that is, but the truth is I thought about it, but I didn't do anything because, like I said, I couldn't have done it well, so I didn't do it at all. But, most definitely.
Hold up, Leon. Okay, right. Okay, go ahead, Leon. You want to say something?
Yeah, I wondered, you know, that's a good point that you brought up about, you know, if you knew that person, but you never expressed that you knew her. But
no, I didn't. We were in a small college, and we were in a white town, and it was only a handful of blacks. So yeah, we all knew each other.
Mm-hmm. Right, but she wasn't your friend, though, right? She wasn't a friend of yours. You just knew her.
Yes, I knew her.
Okay.
She was not one of my good friends. No.
Right. So I'm going to go back to the question that Forrest answered. That he asked. It is different when you walk in the room and my girl is with one of my boys. The thing with me is, I already know how he get down because I've seen him do it to other people. So I would never stop to think that he wouldn't do it to me. That's why I'm the that's why I'm the way I am right now. That I learned from my friends doing things. My friends or my so-called friends, why they kiss and tell. See, they do things to girls and then they come back and tell you. And it makes me know that you have to watch them, because that's the kind of person that they are. So you make sure that when you're with somebody, you know, your girl, that you make sure that that's not going to happen to you. Not to say it's not that it wouldn't, but you already know who that person is because you already know how they are.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true.
Right, right. Well, and a confession, I want to say before we – go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We don't want to get – because the title, the conversation is narcissist, and we don't want to, you know, derail ourselves.
Stray from that, okay. So with that being said, Jay, do we have another caller coming in? Thank you, Brother Leon. I always appreciate you, your input, and, of course, Sister Karen and the Grace of Space ladies. You're right. We don't want to derail. Let's stay on board sometimes, because we can get a little run astray, even though we have good intentions. But anyway, okay, Jay, do we have any other calls want to buzz in? Hit the number one button, family out there. If you want to make a comment or ask questions to the ladies from Space of Grace, you have to hit the number one button. It says you are now in the Hue Cube.
Not at this time. We had a couple. Okay, we do have somebody coming in. One second.
Okay.
2986.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Go right ahead.
Ladies, thank you for coming on and sharing this. My name is Adrian, and I have been a domestic violence counselor and advocate for over 30 years. So this is a topic, you know, that's firmly in my heart, and I think everybody needs to hear about it, know about it. I like the question I think Leon asked, do you think any victims are on the line? And they might be, but there are people that are victims and don't know it. You know, there's many times I've been out and did talks about domestic violence. I usually focus on youth all the way up to the adults. And I've been to a juvenile justice convention where I spoke to like 200 children. And after I finished my domestic violence speech, you know, I ask for questions, and I always get, well, my friend is in that situation. Well, my friend is in that situation. And one day there was about maybe – out of 200 kids, there was like four of them that they just broke down. And one of them admitted that, I keep saying that my friend is in that situation, but I realize it's me, you know, when I think about it. So a lot of people would listen to these topics, and that's why it's so important for me and people like you to get the information out, because some people don't realize they're in a narcissistic relationship or a domestic violence relationship. Sometimes it's an eye-opener. So I appreciate you coming out and opening people's eyes and talking about what y'all do. Quick question, where do y'all work out of? What area, what town?
We are, two of us are in Houston, and one is in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Because
We only exist on the podcast, but we're trying to do a support group because of the response that we received on the podcast. And if you're interested in partnering with us, we would love that.
I was just going to say that. I was going to say I'd love to connect with y'all in some way.
So Jay has your number, and with your permission, you know, because you called in. So with your permission, I will ask him to give us that number, because, you know, give us that number, and one of us will call you.
Definitely.
If that's all right.
I appreciate that.
I know, we appreciate
you. You got my first name? Excuse me? Excuse me?
Jada. This is Jada.
Okay.
And I wanted to give you my email address, okay? Do you have
okay.
something to write with?
No, I don't.
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. I got Jada, Miss Jada. I got a better idea. Hey, Jay, can you pull Miss Jada and also Sister Adrian backstage so they could talk?
Yeah. What's your
okay.
What number is Sister Jada?
Jada,
the last
you,
four.
Last four. What is it again?
0704.
Okay, 0704. Okay, I'll bring both of you backstage.
Okay, so Miss Adrian, thank you for coming on, and you could give Jada your information. And thank you for coming on the Grown Folks. Appreciate it. Don't make this your last time now.
Oh, it's not the last time. It's not the first time either.
Well, good. I'm glad you were. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, family, before we pull in the next call, we're going to get Ms. Jada time because we like to for them to be complete. You know, that's remember Voltron, y'all, the cartoon? I don't go cartoon to everybody, but, you know, Voltron had the arms. Remember the lions came together? Well, Voltron can't be formed until Ms. Jada comes back, so she'll exchange that information. But there's something I want to say to Minister. I got some crazy examples, y'all, don't I? But y'all remember Voltron. That was a good cartoon. But anyway, we got Minister Deborah, and we still have Karen online, along with Brother Rashad, Leon. And callers out there, family, hit the love button. The number one button, if you have something you like to say, make a comment. But let me say this to my panel, to the ladies from the Space of Grace. Now, I got a Saturday Night Fever moment, all right? Now, I tell everybody, in fact, next month I'll be 65, all right? And I grew up during the disco years, all right? I hope, Karen, if I'm off track, you correct me, because, like I said, nobody's perfect. But growing up, all right, I live for the music. I lived in all the clubs back then. And back then, the mentality amongst most of the brothers, okay, and I'm sure other ethnicities, whatever they had clubs, was to conquer. When I say conquer, y'all, I mean nice, you dress. Nowadays, most, not all, most young people don't know how to dress, you know. But you dress nice, you go out, and then you knew how to talk to a lady respectfully. All right, because that's how I was raised. My father's a retired detective, and my mama didn't take no mess. And she trained all four of her boys on how to give ladies respect. Now, it's different when you get a certain age. All right, you still have respect now because, you know, somewhere in the back of your mind is lurking, okay? You still respect women because to this day, family, if there's anybody listening, if anybody knows somebody that knows me is listening, if anybody could say I ever called them that B word, I'll give you $100. You come on this podcast and prove it, okay? I've never called a female out of her name. Never, all right? Because I didn't feel right. I just couldn't use that word. You know, it's just like my mouth would just, I get locked jaw if I wanted to say that word. But anyway, there were ladies that I, very nice ladies. I mean, nice young ladies that I went with. And they were good. They were committed. They were like almost, well, not like Miss Karen, but in the way they had one man and one man only mentality. And I cheated. I cheated because back then, you know, the guys were walking around with a baggy hair, you know, I dealt with that over there, I got that over there. That's how it was back then, all right? And looking back on it, sure, I would have did things a little differently, you know. And I would, because now that you're a little older, they say with age comes wisdom, and, well, now looking back on it. But what I did to atone for bad behavior, I actually reached out. There's still one that's missing, but I reached out and I apologized, and I'm friends with them to this day. I apologize for my bad behavior, you know. And Brother Ishmael Shabazz, I don't know if he's listening, but he came up here out of Kingston, New York, was talking about. He told me in private when we had off the cuff chats. He told me about how he had to reach back and apologize to some of the ladies he was in contact with for his bad behavior. All right, and gentlemen, let me say this to the men out there listening. If you know how to get in contact, if they'll listen, you know, even if they don't, send them a message where you know they're going to read it. If they don't hit you back, at least you know you put it out there in the universe. Go, you know, for the ladies that you dogged out, apologize, all right? I got a friend of mine. I'm going to name the name. It's no big deal. Miss Linda Britt, beautiful woman. She helped me when I opened up my store. She was a good woman. Me, I'm cheating. I think I'm being slick. And here's the funny thing, family. I'm hoping I'm not getting off track with this. I'm just going to say this. When we talk years later, I'm talking about like 8, 9, 10 years ago, because she lives in Virginia now, okay? She told me all the things that I thought I got away with. She said, I knew you was doing this. I knew you was doing that. And then I had to find out from the gentleman who made signs for my stores. He said, you don't know how many times your woman came into my office and was crying. Okay? So the thing is, you know, you and then I had to reach out to her, and I did, and I apologized. Okay? And I had to apologize to other women, too, because I thought I had it going on. But, men, you really don't have it going on treating women like that. You really don't. Okay? And now here's the funny thing, and they write songs about this. Now you're at a certain point in life where you live a life of, hey, will I die alone or will I be alone? Because I'm a bachelor now. And I think about all the good women I had in the past. Don't get me wrong. I have had a good time. I'm not depressed. I don't suffer. Anybody who knows me today, I have a high spirit. And that's not a shield. That's just me. Because I had a lot of fun. A lot of men don't know how to handle years later being by themselves. I'm a single man. I like being single. And if I find that right one, and I'll share this with Karen. If I find the right one, you better believe, all right? Ain't going to be no such thing as cheating. And every argument, not even an argument, anything that she says that might lead to an argument with most people, she wins that conversation, okay? Because sometimes it takes down the road. That's why I envy with great admiration men that have women that have been with them for 20, 30, 15 years, and they still going strong. Okay, but I just want to say that, and Karen, I hope I didn't go off base by, you know, mentioning that. But I just wanted to share that because everybody else is getting up here talking about what they need to talk about, you know. And I just wanted to share that with my podcast family because from the host, don't mean I'm going to have my flaws. Sure, I have my share of flaws, and I just shared it with y'all out there, family. But anyway, hey, Jay, do we have any, anybody else hit the number one button, hit the love button out there, y'all, just in case you want to, you know, chime in because that's why we're here. What we got, Jay?
Not at this time.
Okay. So with that being said, ladies, is Jada back yet?
Yep, I'm back.
Okay. Well, ladies, this is your time. Go right ahead and finish saying what you need to say. Jay, if we have any more callers, just do me a favor. I hope it's not interrupting anybody's thought. But just hit that doorbell. Listeners, we got a lot of listeners out there. Jay said we capacitize out there. If you have any questions or any input, hit the one button. All right, and Jay will bring you in. All right, so ladies, go right ahead. It's still your time, your dime.
Okay. One of the things I want to say is when it comes to relationships, all interpersonal relationships, first and foremost, we have to understand our worth. We have to understand that we get to set boundaries and expectations. And in doing that, it positions you to feel better, think better, and do better. And so it's important to remove the false beliefs, the things that you believe that are not true. So, for example, when you are in a relationship where someone is abusing you, that thought process that it's your fault. It is not your fault that someone is disrespectful, dismissive, verbally or emotionally abusive to you. Because once you take on that blame, you begin to believe that you deserve to be treated that way. The idea is that you have to stay with someone because no one else will ever like you. The idea that something that, again, if I were, you know, fill in the blank, if I were smarter, if I looked differently, if I had more material things, if I were more savvy, if I were more sophisticated, whatever it is that you think is not enough, you need to understand that you are enough, that where you are and how you are right now, you are enough. And so it's these false beliefs that allow us not to know our worth and not to act on that knowledge. And so it's very important that you start to change that narrative, and that you not you don't let the negative become the narrative. Don't keep thinking about who you aren't or what you can do or what you don't have, and instead start to focus on what is good about you. So in other words, instead of saying, you know, oh, wow, I can't do what I used to do when I was 20, be grateful for what you are able to do at 30, 40, 50, 60. And understand that that is a process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. But every morning I want you to get up with a feeling of gratitude, just grateful that you have got, you, that God allowed you to see this day. I then want you to think about what it is that you want to accomplish with this day. And start to focus on your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual needs. Because once you start to make you a priority, then your vision changes and your behavior changes. I could not get through this life without a belief in a greater power. So for me, it all goes back to spirituality. You know, to being able to know that there is a God that has forgiven me for all of my sins. And because of that, I deserve joy. I deserve peace. I deserve to be safe in my environment. And so I strive for those things. I strive to have people in my life that bring me joy. I strive to have people in my life. I use the term tender with my heart. People that care about my feelings, but that will not intentionally and deliberately cause me emotional or physical harm. People that respect my boundaries. And sometimes you have to make boundaries before you can get other people to respect them. You know, you should not be in a space where anything goes. But again, you have to know that you're worthy of peace, joy, happiness, and love.
I like that, Jada. I wanted to bring up another point, and Karen and I actually had a conversation about this earlier during the week. The interesting part is that narcissistic relationships can run from a very short period of time before, you know, they become obviously toxic to long-term, because there are people that have been in long-term narcissistic relationships. And so there was one that we were discussing just in listening to the person that was being abused. One of the things that they felt is that they had put so much time in. It sounded like because they put so much time in, they thought that they could redeem that time, that they could make things better. And the narcissist, one of their characteristics is that, you know, they will return to the scene over and over again and, you know, make promises and, you know, continue to be dishonest and that sort of thing. And so one of the things that I wanted to just say is if there's anyone that's listening that has been in a long-term relationship that you're hearing, yes, this is what has happened with me over the period of time, it doesn't mean that it's too late. It just means that there's an awareness. Now you have an awareness, and so some of the things that we're talking about today apply, whether it's been a short-term or a long-term relationship. You know, the forgiving yourself, avoiding the isolation, the self-care, even the prayer, those are things that we believe are going to be helpful for you. And so I'm going to use the words, again, we're talking about how to get out and how to heal. And Karen did point out that sometimes it's difficult to get out, and so they may not be at that place. But there's a song that says you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, right? And know when to walk away. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are really in a toxic, abusive relationship with a narcissist, you surely want to know when to run. And Karen, you alluded to this earlier when you said the context. So the probably one of the safest ways to get healthy from that is what's known as no contact. That is disconnecting completely from, and I know that people are in relationships where they have shared children, their family. There's a number of factors that could affect that. But if at all possible, you want to go no contact. And the reason for that is that, as I mentioned before, it is a disorder, but they are not disorderly. They are very crafty. They have a really, really creative way of drawing you right back into that same place where you were before. But when you distance yourself from them, it will allow you over time some freedom to get your mind right and to be able to see the things that maybe you wouldn't have seen before because of the nature of the relationship. So I just wanted to bring that also into the conversation here.
Well, thank you for that information. And, family, we have callers. I'd like to say this, to the people calling in, please be a little patient. We're going to bring in one at a time. So, Jay, bring in the first caller. And thank you for being patient out there, family, podcast family.
Greetings. Hello.
Greetings, ma'am.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Hi, right. Thank you. I came on a little late, but I've listened to you all before, and I love the information that you're sharing. But I wanted to know, and if it was mentioned, I apologize, but if it was, if you could dig a little deeper. Can a person have, like, a narcissistic manager, supervisor, anything along those lines? And if so, what would you guys say that would look like, or does it mirror the same relationship as just, one is more intimate than the other, you know, like, with a boyfriend or a husband or and stuff like that. Can a person have a narcissistic manager, supervisor is the question, or someone in leadership, period, narcissistic pastor, you know? So that's my question for you ladies. And what does it look like? Thank you.
The answer to that, yes, and I think it's important. And we did touch on it. The behavior is the same, but the personal dynamic is different. But Karen commented on having a narcissistic manager. And I think it's important that you brought up pastors or any leadership position. Because, again, this is a human condition, and so it exists in all levels and in all types of people. The danger with this is that you can't, like, for instance, if you have a narcissistic manager, you may not be able to leave, and most times you can't. And so you have to develop coping mechanisms. It is very dangerous when this person is a religious leader because they will cloak their behavior in God and religion and demand your obedience. And so this exaggerated sense of self-importance, a sense of entitlement and the desire for excessive admiration, expecting to be recognized as superior, while, you know, people are in positions either by choice or by chance of leadership. That does not always mean that God placed them there. And there's a difference between giving honor to God and giving honor to man. And so often that ego and that narcissistic temperament takes over. And you can be made to feel that you don't get to question that, or that they're entitled, or they have the right to treat you the way they are treating you. And that's when the need for your own relationship with God. Because you do not have to go through man to get to God. And you have to have a realization of who you are and what you deserve. Then you have to have the support of other people and develop a strategy for dealing with this. And a lot of it comes back to knowing that that behavior, that you don't deserve to be treated that way. And resources and other support to help you as you work your way through this or work your way out of it.
Okay. And I'd like to add something to it. This is Karen. And an article that I came across, 11 ways to emotionally detach from a narcissist. And I can't tell you enough how good this is, because when you have a boss that's a narcissist, or at least have those traits, it can be so devastating, because you're at work, and this is where, you know, this is how you take care of yourself. This is how you care for your family. This is, you know, the money that you need to take care of your family. So this helps you to, this article gives you strategies to protect yourself and to deal with that person, you know, while you're in the workplace. And one of the things that they talk about is understanding the psychology of a narcissist. So once you understand what you're dealing with, then it helps you to develop coping strategies. And one of the things it says, don't take it personally. Know who you are. Let go of the need for the narcissist approval. Those are things that will help you establish boundaries and stick to them. And so, yeah, I definitely, you definitely can have a boss. I've had a supervisor that was a narcissist. At the time, I didn't know what it was, but now looking back and while I was doing my research, I definitely can see it. And how it manifests itself, you know, they do have this, you know, they come off very grandiose. They, no one can do the job as well as them. You know, you can never satisfy them. No one can satisfy them. That's when you know something is going on, because no one can satisfy them. And so as far as your work ethic or the level of work, they will make statements like there's in the group of people that are working, there's no one here. You all don't deserve the positions that you have. If you all were to leave, there would be 100 people out there waiting for your position. That kind of thing, that kind of talking, always talking down to the people. Never, I could fire all of you, and I would get enjoyment out of firing everyone. Those are the kinds of things that they say, and they will. One thing about a narcissist, you know, when you have a person that you report to, you know, sometimes you'll have to divulge personal information, you know, why you're out, those kinds of things. They do not have a problem with letting other people know those things, sharing things that are personal, exposing those things to the world. And so, yeah, if you've got somebody that is doing those kinds of things, then I definitely would suggest seeking some kind of professional help to help you strategize on how to protect yourself emotionally while you're in the situation, if you decide to stay in the situation or until you can get out. But I've worked with one for years. It was misery, but you know, this is what I had to do to take care of myself and my family.
Okay.
So I appreciate the call.
Yes, we appreciate you calling in, ma'am. Like I said, don't be a stranger. Pass the word. Don't folks talk, express yourself. Okay, Jay, we're going with the next caller. Bring him on in, Brother Jay.
2986. Yeah. Go
right ahead.
This is me. This is Adrian again. I just wanted to share something that I used to with the women. Most of the people I work with women. I'm the domestic violence counselor, and I shared it with them, and I said they can take it home. So I'm going to share it with you ladies, and you can take it and pass it on to whoever. The women that I worked with, I told them that you're a diva, okay? And that's an acronym meaning divine individual with varying aspects. So you can share that with them and let people know that's who you are. You know, you're not a victim. You know, people that's gone through a lot of domestic violence counseling, they're always referred to as victims. And you're not a victim. You're a diva. And I was informed the other day, you have to find an acronym for men. I haven't found that yet. So I'm challenging you ladies to do that. But
I got
thank you for sharing, and have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Adrian. Appreciate it. Leon, you said you got something? What?
Yeah, I got the acronym for men. And I don't know if you ladies remember the last time we was on this line, the acronym I used, place of divas, is I called y'all queens.
Yeah.
I called y'all ladies queens. The acronym for men would be kings.
I love it.
Hey, so do I. I just put my crown on. Okay. Hey, Jay, who's the next caller calling in? Anybody, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay.
1224, you guys.
1224, come on in.
Good evening, ladies. Good evening, podcast family. My name is Nakia, and my question is, well, actually, I have a statement before my question. I always hear in narcissistic relationships that there's some cheating involved. So do you ladies think that's the norm in a narcissistic relationship, the cheating part?
Yeah.
Okay, so Karen, it's just a solid yes, and I would have to say as well that is generally a component because part of the issue with a narcissist is that they feed off of those things from the person that they are inflicting pain on. And so when it gets to a point that they're not getting the same, and they use it in the name that they'll use is supply, if they're not getting the same supply, that they did in the very beginning, then they're always constantly looking for new supply. And so they generally, not always, but they generally have multiple relationships, which means that they can also be more than emotionally dangerous. They can be physically dangerous as well because they have risky behavior. And often they have other things that are added into the mix, which would be some type of substance abuse that is common as well. So, Karen, you just gave it a solid yes, and I'm saying generally that is correct as well.
Yes, because they we talked about they usually have different levels too. Like they may have two number one ladies, and then they may have three number twos, so they have they will have several relationships. Some that are developing because they need a constant supply, and so yeah, they will always have normally have more than one relationship at a time. And we talked about last time, how do they keep those relationships straight? How do they juggle all these different relationships? And they're not restricted by the same boundaries that we're restricted by, because we have to tell the truth and give an account of our time. They don't have to do that. They lie. And so it's easier for them than it would be for you, because they can lie about what they're doing. They can lie about where they were. They can lie about everything. They create a fantasy.
Right, and they're not required to remember the lie, because they will use a new lie to create doubt in your mind about the last lie. So that's also where some of the trauma comes in, is that they use a technique of gaslighting, making you think that they didn't say what they said. And so, yeah, that's very common.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I think I have an idea about why sometimes when we catch our partner cheating with somebody else while we go after the other person, and I think it's all about taking out the competition, because that person is competition to us. That person is invading our space with the person that we love and that we're in the relationship. So we're trying to take the competition out. That's my feelings about that. And thank you, ladies, for your answers.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah. And, yeah. And Karen, that's the part where you said, run far away, right?
When did I say that?
No. Remember you said when you were younger, when you didn't know any better, that you hung around for a while. But now looking back at it, if you don't even give a person a chance. I think you said they came to your research. When they mess up once, pew, you out of there like a bullet.
Yeah, you need to get away. Because one thing about it, they are people, they know people, and they study people. And so they will know what to say to suck you back in, what they call it, hoovering. So they will suck you back in because they know the things that you need to hear, and that's what they'll do. So the best thing would be to just cease all contact with them until you can pull yourself together and figure out what it is that you know, get your mind together. Because one thing, it's interesting when you have a relationship with a narcissist, and they call it abuse, right? But it's different from physical, it's different from that physical abuse that you with a regular person, because if a person hits you, you know you've been hit. But when a narcissist works on you, you don't necessarily know what it is that happened, because it's very confusing, you know. And so I read in one of the articles, it's like when you're robbed by a person, and they usually, you know, they take a gun and take your money, and you know you've been robbed. But when you've been robbed by a narcissist, you may have given them the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they have you so confused, you end up giving them the money and then going home and getting the other money that you had and give that to them too. But you're still missing your money. And so that's the thing about them. And the other thing is when you're getting ready to separate from them, and I know this from personal experience, that you know, when you've been in a relationship with a person, you know, they know everything about you. They know, you know, who you like, who you don't like, all your little secrets that you, all that little pillow talk and the secrets that you told them, they know all of that. And when you get ready to, when you separate from them, they do not have a problem with telling all of those secrets. Everything that you've ever said to them, nothing is sacred to them. And so they will say everything. And that's one of the, it's like an emotional blackmail, and they will use that on you. And, definitely, they will use that because they will bully you. They will bully you. And so that is one of the things that's why you just have to, you know, fortify yourself before you decide that you're going to separate from this person. You must keep it a secret from them before you do it. And when you do it, you just have to make that break, make it quickly, and make it, what is the word I'm trying to say, and forever. Because the back and forth, you're not going to benefit from that. It just prolongs the agony. And, yeah, that's one of the things that I wanted to say.
Oh, I think we have another guest on for y'all, ladies. Y'all really hitting it tonight. Okay, Jay, we have another caller?
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, fine.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'd just like to ask the ladies a question. It seems like, you know, I might be wrong, but it seems like that the man is most likely the perpetrator when it comes to narcissists. Usually, is that the case?
I think we're actually just speaking probably in this point from a female perspective, because they're absolutely female narcissists. But
that's what I was going to ask you, because I was going to ask you, can a mother or a parent be a narcissist to their children?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I think sometimes that happens.
No, it absolutely.
We have some parents that we just call it abuse. But and the last question I have is there any treatment for this? Is there any treatment?
The answer to
that
is
yes. Can you correct somebody who has this problem?
Yes, there is treatment for it. The issue becomes that most people that are narcissists are not willing to admit that they have a problem and are too arrogant to seek help. So there are treatments. A lot of it revolves around therapy, you know, talk therapy. And because this behavior can also create other behaviors, depression, anxiety, there may be a need for medical treatment as well, for pharmacy treatment, you know, prescription medicine, what have you. So there is treatment, but most narcissists are unlikely to seek out treatment.
So you might have someone who might have children, might have a family, even though they may have that condition, they don't want to necessarily break up their family. So that's what I'm saying. Do they have any kind of treatment for them to help them so that they wouldn't have to break that family up?
Yes, individual counseling, couples counseling, family counseling, and can all provide treatment and direction.
All right, thank you.
I got a question. I got a question for all three ladies. I don't want to say it's a yes or no question, because I got a follow-up question after that question. My question is, each of you gotten out those relationships that you were in, was it hard to trust another man
I think I will say it was probably hard to trust your own judgment. I'll say that. I think it brings a sense of awareness. Maybe some of the things that you've taken for granted previously, that you would assume that people would be somewhat like-minded in terms of being kind and considerate, compassionate, that people would not just be out for themselves. And so it brings a sense of awareness that people are different. And with that, you know, some things are really not at face value. I will say for me that it caused me to actually watch more than what I would listen to, because one of the characteristics of a narcissist is that they are some of the most crafty liars that you can imagine. And so you can't take people for their word all the time. You have to really see if their behavior. And so maybe just brings a sense of caution. Karen, I think you were about to add as well. Is that correct?
Yes, I definitely wanted to say that when the next relationship I had, while the first one was so arrogant, so braggadocious, and so emotionally draining for me, that the next relationship I had was the total opposite. And that was a decision that I made, you know, knowingly made that decision. I was like, I don't even have anything. I don't have enough left. I could never deal with anything like that again. But not trusting your decision making, like Deborah said, was more of what was the end result for me. I didn't trust myself to make decisions. It wasn't like that I didn't trust the guy. I didn't trust myself. And so that was interesting and something that took years to work through. Absolutely.
What about Jay?
I have never been in a relationship with a narcissist,
okay.
But I understand the concept, and I have been in relationships where people have disappointed me, hurt me, betrayed my trust. And so anytime that happens, I think that you do become more cautious. I've met some women that just totally shut down, so they were not willing to entertain the idea of getting close to someone because they felt like they couldn't trust themselves, but also that they couldn't trust anyone else. And so everywhere they looked, they saw hurt, pain, deceit. And so they were unwilling and unable for many, many years to even consider the thought of engaging in another relationship.
I just want you ladies to know that this is just, you know, my opinion, that your cautious decision makings was never your fault, because people would not, or a person would not do or treat you as you would treat other people because of their shortcomings. It was never you ladies' fault. That's just
Thank
my opinion.
I agree absolutely.
That. Yes, and it means a lot for you to express that. I am a romantic at heart, so even when I've been hurt and disappointed, I never got to a point where I was willing to give up on love. I wanted love. I needed love. I was going to keep on loving, but I was going to be better adept at knowing what I deserve and being able to shut things down when I saw that the person wasn't capable of being who I needed them to be. And I was always willing to walk away. I never felt like that was going to be my last opportunity for love, or that it was going to be my last chance, because I felt like even when I wasn't feeling real sharp and secure about myself, real confident, I knew that my heart deserved to be loved the right way. And so when I fell down, I would always get back up and just trust that the universe was going to give me my heart's desire.
Well, I'm glad all you ladies are doing better, fine. I don't know what word to use, because I know you did not come out of it unscathed. I just believe that you need to do more of this and bring in awareness, because you never know who you may touch that may be on this line, or not even just on this line, that you may say things to, and they'll sit there, like the other young lady said, and I understand what she says because I work with kids, and I understand they'll say they're friends, but they're really talking about themselves, that you can reach them, and they will know what to start to do to even get away, because it's just hard for me to believe that narcissists, not all of them, are not physical. You know, it sounds to me that they could get physical once y'all start getting on to them. You know, but I'm just glad that you ladies are doing fine. You queens for the third time are doing fine.
Thank you.
Hey, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Forrest.
Oh, no, because I was just wanting to let you know it's about, you know, time is winding out. So, you know what? That's why I'm starting podcast too, family out there, because the next one that I go on, we have unlimited time until everybody's ready to put their head on that pillow. And I just wanted to say that I believe it was Minister Deborah that was talking about Last Chance. For some reason, that record rolled around in my head because I'm a musical person. I remember Donna Summer sang that song, Last Chance. I just thought about that when she said it, the way she said it, you know. But that's Brother Leon, y'all. The brother's always insightful, studying, working with children down in the Atlantic City, New Jersey area. You won't catch him behind no crap table. He's working down there on the casino. He's down there working with the kids. And I just want to remind my podcast audience, and then I'm going to let the Graceful Space ladies say what they have to say before they depart. All right. Family out there listening, in case you just didn't hit the number one button tonight, but you might want to hit it next time when these ladies come on, these very profound ladies, they come on every second Saturday faithfully of the month. So they'll be back on the second Saturday in April, May, June, for as long as I'm blessed to have them on. And also, you heard what they said, they're going to work on starting a support group. And then when I do number two podcast, they will announce when they're ready, all right, and I hopefully they're already ready, but when they're ready to do it, okay, then they will have unlimited time, and then you guys can open up more, because I know somewhere somebody listens, because my technician Jay told me there's a lot of people listening, and a lot of times people may not want to share. It's just like that shy moment, and after a while, you got to let it out. You know, it's good to let things out, you know, rather than keeping it inside, you know. So just want to thank you for coming on. But in departing, ladies, because we got about 3 minutes left, you want to say something out there to the people now that will basically adore what you're saying and hopefully take in what you're saying and look forward to the next time, ladies, come on.
I just want to say to everyone here, healing is possible and you are not alone. There are people that care about what you're going through and they want to see you heal.
That was Minister Deborah, right?
That was Jada.
Yeah.
Well, that was Jada. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Yeah, that was. I got their voices down pat now.
Got it down pat, huh? Okay.
I got their voices down pat.
Okay, Minister Deborah, would you like to say something? And I guess Karen get be the last voice of symphony over there. Or what?
I think we'll have Karen close us out.
So I wanted to say that next month we will focus on self-care. And so look forward to talking about how to take care of yourself. That's our topic for next month.
Okay, y'all heard it live here on Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself. But everybody, we're about to ride off in the sunset together, if you don't mind. Just hop on the chariot. We're all going to ride off together. Before we all just sign off, I just want to say once again, thank you for tuning in to Grown Folks Talking. Hope you got something from this podcast, because I did. Listening to the ladies who are the queens, like Brother Leon said, and Brother, and also on behalf of Brother Rashad Alameen, our naturopath, he'll be on next week to tell you guys about, in fact, next week, family, all right, ladies, put on those aprons as well as the guys, too. It's an equal opportunity employment. We have Nikita. And my technician, Jay, went to their restaurant. He'll tell you about how good the food is if he got a moment he wants to chime in. But they have Cell Power Cafe from the Cell Power Cafe. She's going to talk about healthy cooking next week. And then we also have Brother Stan Watson from the Mastermind Billionaires Forum. There's a panel of them. And it's about five. And they talk Monday through Friday between 8 and 10. All right? Very impactful. Stan will give you the information. He's known as Abundantly Wealthy. All right? And then also Brother Rashad will be on next week, our in-house doctor. So thank you once again for your support of Green Tea. And listen, family, every Friday, my technician, Randy J. Sean Jackson, keeping it real, he does an hour podcast. Check him out between 8 and 10 p.m. Ladies from Space of Grace, thank you. See you guys next month. And they're working on that support group. Also, stay posted. And on behalf of Brother Leon and Brother Rashad, I want to thank you. Have a safe week, and stay in contact. Peace and blessings, everybody.
All right.
January 2-1.